Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After the Israelites had mourned the death of their leader, Moses, for 30 days, God spoke to their new leader, Joshua, telling him to prepare the people to cross the Jordan River. At that time of the year, the Jordan River was in flood from winter rain. The Israelites had been camping on the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, just north of the Salt Sea, or as we now know it, the Dead Sea.
Now after the death of Moses, the angel of the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying,
Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which he gave them. As God was with Moses, so will he be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and do all according to the law which Moses his servant commanded thee. For then thou shalt have good success.
Afterward, Joshua called two men into his tent.
I want you to cross over the Jordan secretly and enter the city of Jericho. You will bring back information about the strength of the city's fortifications. I want to know how many soldiers there are within the walls.
You can rely on us.
Go then, with God's blessing. So far, so good. At least we got into Jericho.
Who is it?
Two travelers.
What do you want?
A little food and water.
Oh, all right. Where are you two from?
From far away.
You're Israelites, aren't you? I can tell by the way you speak. I've heard a lot about how you escaped from Egypt and how Pharaoh's army was destroyed in the Red Sea, and no one can stand against you. You're too powerful. You'll capture Jericho, too. We don't stand a chance.
Open up in the king's name.
Quick, you two hide. Hide on the roof, under the flax, quick.
If you don't open up, we'll break the door down.
I'm coming.
Two suspicious-looking men were seen entering your house.
There were two strangers here a little while ago. They left only a few minutes ago. If you hurry, you'll overtake them.
Which way did they go?
Toward the gate.
Thanks, lady.
You're welcome. I see you're still here.
Yes, thanks to you. Have they gone?
Yes, but you must leave at once.
How shall we escape, now that they're searching for us?
There is a way. But first, you must give me a promise.
All right.
I know the strength of your God. Nothing can stop him from making you victorious. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to me and to all my family. Swear that when you capture our city, your soldiers will not harm anyone in this house.
We swear it. We will deal kindly and truly with you and all that are in this house. But how shall we get out of the city?
I have a strong scarlet cord. My house stands upon the wall. I will let you down outside from a window.
Good. But do one more thing. When the time comes for us to attack the city, bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. That way our soldiers will know that this is the house which is to be spared. But if you tell anyone about our business, then we will be quit of our oath.
So be it. Now come quickly. I will let you down from the window.
And the two spies escaped from Jericho and hid in the mountains for 3 days until their pursuers had given up their search. Then they made their way back to the camp of Israel.
The book of Joshua describes an important stage in the history of God's chosen people, Israel. When God called Abraham, his plan was to develop Abraham's descendants into a special nation through which he would bless the entire world. God had promised Abraham many descendants and a land of their own. While living in Egypt for 400 years, the Israelites had increased to about 2 million people and were now waiting for God to give them a land of their own. The Israelite conquest of Canaan took place about 1400 BC. This was actually God's conquest of the land. The Israelites weren't warmongering people who were simply seizing other people's property. From the beginning, it had been God's plan to give Canaan to the Israelites. The Canaanites had brought this fate upon themselves, as they were a wicked and ungodly people. God had told Abraham that 400 years would have to pass before his descendants would receive the land. They could only have it after the sin of the Canaanites had reached its full measure. We must always hold in balance God's hatred of sin and his love for those who obey him. These are both essential aspects of God's character. In a number of Old Testament scripture references, God outlined the boundaries of the Promised Land and said that it was to be an eternal possession of the Israelites. It wasn't until 500 years after Joshua conquered part of the land that King Solomon continued to expand the kingdom. Yet up until today's present time, the Israelites still have not taken possession of all the land that God said that they were to have. The two spies that Joshua sent to look over Jericho were in danger too. Should they have trusted Rahab, a prostitute, with their safety? Her house was part of the city wall, and she made a deal with them to ensure the protection of her and her relatives when the Israelites came to attack Jericho. When this was agreed, Rahab let the spies down on the outside of the city wall so that they could escape the pursuing soldiers. When the soldiers came to Rahab's place, she sent the king's soldiers to the fording places at the Jordan River in the east, but sent the two spies west to hide in the hills. It's important to think about Rahab and about her role in God's ongoing history of Israel. She was more than just an ungodly Canaanite, an immoral sinner by her profession as a prostitute who had a lying tongue to the king's men. She betrayed her own people by saving the spies and thus was guilty of treason. How much lower could a person go? Yet God looks at each person differently, and he knows their heart. That same woman, Rahab, looked at the God of Israel in fear and faith. She and all the people of Jericho had heard how God had dried up a pathway through the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross over. They'd also heard how God had helped Israel capture all the land on the east side of the Jordan River. While the other residents of Jericho were melting in fear, Rahab had placed her faith in the Lord of Israel. She told the spies, "The Lord your God is God, in heaven above and on earth beneath." The other people in Jericho had the same knowledge as Rahab, but they didn't act on it like she did. Rahab is one of the greatest illustrations of God's grace in all of Scripture. Although she was condemned to die with the rest of the people of Jericho at Israel's takeover, God honored her faith in him. The Bible says God isn't willing that anyone should be cast into hell because of their sin, but rather that everyone should come to Jesus his Son in repentance. In Romans chapter 10 it says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one is too low or too sinful for the Lord to save if one will but look at him in faith." As Rahab found out while living in Jericho among its people, paralyzed by fear at the prospect of the advancing Israelites, God is a believer's source of freedom from fear. In honoring and respecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, a believer will find in Jesus a sanctuary from all other fears. In Isaiah chapter 9, in the prophecy there concerning Jesus, we're told that he is the Prince of Peace. Like Rahab still living in a city of turmoil after she farewelled the spies, we too can have peace in our heart and mind while living in difficult circumstances. In Isaiah chapter 26, we're told that the person who trusts in the Lord will have perfect peace as they keep their mind focused on the Lord. Isn't that what we all want? Perfect peace? Peace is an essential element of the true Christian life. Christ desires us to have peace. If we don't have it, we have missed part of the blessing of being a Christian, as peace is part of our inheritance as the adopted children of God. It's not a gift for only a favored few, but for everyone who believes in Christ and will accept it. The Christian's peace isn't found in a place devoid of difficulties, but it's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit indwelling a person who's given their life to Jesus. This peace of heart is independent of all outside conditions and so amazing that it's difficult to speak of in a way that a listener will understand. Can we hope to live in this world without troubles and cares? No, sadly. Such a life is impossible. Nor can we hope for a life without sorrow. To love another is to weep sometimes along the way. True religion doesn't shelter us from the grief that we must experience in life. But the peace that Jesus promises is an experience which neither care nor sorrow can disturb or overthrow, as it's something that actually changes a believer's earthly sorrow into godly joy. Do all Christians possess this profound peace? And when does reasonable concern turn into overwhelming anxiety, worry, or fear? Fear is the most basic but necessary instinct of survival for every living creature on the planet. Fear of physical harm stops us from putting ourselves in danger in many ways. But fear that is outside of trusting fully in God is harmful and counted by God as a sin. Harmful fears that we experience need to be unlearned and repented from if we are to grow into the likeness of Christ. Fear first came upon the earth when Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. Immediately, Adam and Eve hid from God because they were afraid of him after disobeying God's command. Sin disconnected Adam and Eve from their loving Heavenly Father, and their sinning descendants ever since have struggled with harmful fear and anxiety. God is far superior to all mankind's fears and is also kind and good. He is to be feared, but God doesn't want us to be afraid of him. In Revelation chapter 1, when Jesus touched John, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." That statement appears many times in the scriptures. God doesn't want us to run from him in shameful, anxious fear, but rather he wants us to ask for the help we need to have our wrongdoing pardoned and our relationship with him restored. Fear of people can often overshadow a holy fear of God. Fear of people includes rejection, failure, abandonment, or even death. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Apostle Peter also said, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." One of the biggest reasons why Christians don't share their faith in Christ with others is the fear of people's rejection and failure. Time and time again in the Bible, God promises to be with the righteous. He cannot and he will not forget us if we belong to him. One man told the story of his difficulties sleeping peacefully at night. He was plagued with nightmares. He started to learn verses of Scripture, and when he was ready to sleep, he would quote from Philippians chapter 4, "Be anxious for nothing." He would add his own comment, "I choose to obey that command." He found that he needed to have fear-buster verses like that in his heart to combat the enticement to give in to fear. Like this man, we too can find out that the more our faith grows in the Lord, the more our fears and cares in this life flee. Loving God and fearing God with a reverential fear are both needed for a healthy spiritual life. They reflect the justice and mercy of God, which are opposite sides of the same coin. If we loved God without fearing and respecting him, we could easily slip into laziness, lawlessness, or self-dependence. And if we fear God with anxiety without loving him, we could easily become legalistic and either self-righteous or self-condemning. In Psalm 103, verses 11 and 13, it says, "For as high as the sky is above the earth, so great is God's love for those who honor him. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those who honor him."
The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.